Crypto Parabellum Podcast, episode number 11, October 19th, 2022. It's a Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday. Christ, I already fucked up the open. How's it going, guys? Good morning.
It is Wednesday.
I got to get rid of this stupid racer chair. It just occurred to me I'm still using this shitty racer chair. I have the same chair that Alan has, which is a very nice secret ledger. I have that chair in my home office. I need to get one for the path office.
What do you mean, right now? It looks like a gateway chair, like the old.
This is like Amazon $125.
Yeah, this is like that Amazon. Yeah, because like when we first came in the office, they only had like little wheelie shitty office cubicle chairs. So I just went on Amazon and bought this, and here we are. Anyways,
I have the Razer Isker gaming chair.
I don't know if you know. I would like to shill. Just spend the money on a good chair.
Yeah, I agree.
People sort of hate on this chair. They say it's like overpriced and like rah rah. Because there's like tiers of chairs, right? Then there's like the Herman Miller, or whatever it is. It's like $11,000 chair. I don't need an $11,000 chair. Maybe you do.
No.
But this one's great. I love it. Very comfortable. You can go.
Yeah,
I like that one too.
See, mine is also, I just picked it up the other day, which was a fucking fatal mistake for a year, because I've had this literally for a year and a half. I didn't get, like, the fucking pillow deal at the top.
Oh, yeah, magnetic pillow.
Oh, my God, it's huge. It's huge. Yep. It's a big deal. So, anyway, that's our open for you guys. Get a nice chair. Get the pillow, particularly if you spend your day at a fucking desk, like we all do. Or get one of those walking joints. Those walking desks are sick.
You can also get an automatic.
Oh. You guys are okay. See,
oh no, my camera.
God, what are you doing? Great, this is making editing super fun today. Get your face in the middle of the screen. You're not even close right now.
Yeah.
Leave it in.
All right. Anyway, episode 11. Last week, we doubled our views on YouTube, but like actually more than that, like 1.3 times our all time views. So apparently, people liked Alan going nuclear, and then. You know, we had good topics, I thought. Not amazing, but I think people liked that Alan went nuclear, and then the market's pumped. So, you know, that kind of adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, quick comment on that. I was taking a walk with my wife, and she was like, should we be worried, like, about the economy? And I was like, why do you ask? She's like, well, I listened to the podcast episode, and it sounds kind of bad. And I was like... You're not wrong. Yeah. Not wrong.
It's not
great. Not bad for us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of trickle down effects that will affect everybody, but yeah, it's. I don't think it's good. But I think the worst thing it is war. Do you think war? If you think war is going to happen, yeah, it's real bad. If you don't, you know, whatever, it'll just suck for a while. Anyway, I digress. So we got some interesting things to talk about this week. I think the most interesting one is what happened yesterday. And I'm going to turn it over to Alan to set this up because, it was really the last 2 days. It was a fucking shit show on a new launch. And I think it's worth talking about because when you look at the investors who backed this thing and what it is and what they're trying to do, it just looks like a Titanic money grab. So, Alan, set us up.
Okay. So, I mean, that paints it in a very negative light, which I...
That's me. You can do whatever you want. That's what I'm going to say.
It's fair. So, you know, we decided as an industry that we need another layer one. Solana's not good enough. Avalanche isn't good enough. ETH isn't good enough. What else? Jared, I'm sure you've got a million small caps.
There's 10,000 of them, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so anyways, we need one more. This one at least has some, I think, technical merits. So Aptos. Aptos is a spin out from Meta's or Facebook's Libra, which if you haven't been in crypto super long, you may have never heard of because it was sort of like a flash in the pan. It was going to be huge. It actually got enough traction and attention that I believe Congress is kind of the one that put the kibosh on Libra, if I remember right. Boys, correct me if I'm mischaracterizing that, but it got enough concern trolling from Congress that they were like, hey, maybe we don't do this thing. So this team spun out of Meta, Facebook, and Libra, and then they went on to raise a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And when I say a ton of money, I believe that they raised $350 million in several different tranches right after one another. And so, like, to me, there's no progress that you made in 30 days that goes from like $100 million raise to it was $150 to a $200 million raise. Like, you didn't do anything in 30 days to warrant that. And so, I mean, to your point, Jared, the negativity has really come because of the ambiguity on the tokenomics. I think people want to know, hey, this thing's now trading. It started trading, I think, yesterday, pretty much everywhere. Yep. FTX, Binance, you know, Bybit, anywhere that really you can think of. And the tokenomics were nowhere to be found until Jared.
Yeah, well, we found out they released it last night, and I think what was interesting about that too was it essentially took Kobe. Kobe was the reason that put pressure on people to release this, which is hilarious, and that should not be the way things are done. Okay, I think he actually deleted the tweet. Oh, there it is. This was the 17th, so that was 2 days ago. It's not great that FTX and Binance are all listing Aptos without any tokenomics transparency at all. Surely it should be a prerequisite to listing something that users can have the basic information on what they're buying. Lol. Did I miss the info or something? And nope. And there you go. And by the way, on their website, they raised $400 million, not $350. $400 million from FTX Ventures, Jump Crypto, A16Z, Multicoin, Coinbase Ventures, Binance Labs, Dragonfly. Literally every single major fund essentially jumped into this to the tune of $400 million. That's on FTX's website, by the way. So I assume they have the information since they're one of them.
Jared, back up a little bit. Explain for a moment why does it matter? Like why is Kobe complaining rightfully about the idea that there are no tokenomics? Why does that matter?
Yeah, because when you are wading into this pool, you want to know a couple of things, right? We always talk about what are the team tokens? Like what's the team getting? And what's the unlock investing schedule? How much are immediately available? What's the market cap actually of the how many tokens are there in existence? Does anybody know? We do now. But literally at the start, we thought, is there a million tokens? Is there 100 million? Is there 500 million? Well, it turns out it's closer to a billion tokens, right? So there's a billion tokens that will ever be in existence. And a lot of them, 125 million unlocked at Genesis, okay? 4-year lockup for core contributors. You know, like there's all sorts of things you need to take into place because there's the actual floating market cap and the total market cap. And those all play into how people try to, you know, evaluate this stuff and set targets in near term and long term. And it also helps you get in and out. So essentially, you cannot buy a token unless you're just gambling. If you do not understand the token structure, because what are you comparing against? It's just hope. It's literally playing a pump and dump if you don't know the answer to that question.
Is that not what everyone here is doing?
It's 100% what everybody's doing, but it's not purported. Okay. Like, look, dude, World Cup Inu that released the other day, okay? I don't think anybody was like, hey, this is the next great innovation in crypto. Like if you get
But that's because 9 people on Earth even know about that. Only 16 people on Earth even care about crypto right now. We're 3 of them. So
yeah, right.
A big part of it is all a giant pump and dump. And if World Inu bullshit coin would have just properly launched at the right time, it would have 1,000x, and everybody who bought it in the Telegram chat would have made their money, held it back down to zero, and the cycle would repeat. Aptos, just by comparison, do you guys remember Internet Computer Coin?
Yes.
That fucking came out of nowhere. This is what that reminds me of. ICP or whatever, that Internet Computer Coin, because all of a sudden it was this big VC thing. Everybody, it just showed up on CoinMarketCap in the top 10, like out of nowhere, right? just apples to apples. Internet Computer's down 99.3%. 99.3% is what it's down. That's 99.3%. It's still $300 million bigger market cap than Aptos is now.
Yeah.
It's down 99.3%.
and
it's got a $1.3 billion market cap right now. It has a $1.3 billion market cap.
Yeah.
So is that go ahead. Current market cap or total circulating supply, or is that the same right
fully
now?
Fully diluted, it's 2.2.
Yeah, billion. Yeah. So fully diluted on Aptos right now is 7 points, 7.6 billion.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is that just one like what?
Wild. It's wild for sure.
We're not even close to the bottom. We're not even close. Send it all to zero with haste.
But you guys saw, I mean, you saw the Vitalik coin, right? Just while we're talking about this real quick, the Vitalik, somebody should just name a token called the. Did you see that tweet?
No.
Oh my god. So he made a joke about this, like not even a week ago, like maybe 4 days ago. We should just make a token called the. And it currently has a $20 million fully diluted value, and it went up like literally 700% after you. If you saw it the next day, people were like, ah, that's funny. And then he tweeted about it again. Oh my god, what have I done? And so like literally an Ethereum token called the that he tweeted about ended up. If you got in, as soon as somebody launched it, we're like, hey, is this the real one where somebody actually put liquidity to this? It went up like, you know, you could have 10x your money in a day.
Yeah, I just think for some reason, like 35% of Jared's brain is made up of micro cap shit coins.
Absolutely.
Somehow dude, you know about hilarious. All these things. It's such a waste of time.
It's not. It's fucking, you know why? You want to know why?
You can't.
Because my guys that I've really been with for 2.5 years in the trenches, like you guys and I have been boys forever, but we talk macro and like try to get into real projects. But I got a group of like 25 dudes. We've been together for 2.5 years at the start of DeFi summer where we were like trying to grind and find new things. Okay. And they're talking about this stuff constantly. And so I'm watching what they're talking about. And like these dudes are mopping up on memes right now. And I'm like, that's all I know. We're not at a place where like people are really hurting. To Joel's point, like there's always a meme going on, you know, like it's unbelievable.
It's just the pool of people, whatever. The pool of people trading these is just constricting to the point where then it's zero.
Right. So anyway, yes, my brain does go there because it's fun and hilarious to watch. I don't play them anymore. But I watched these dudes getting rich and I'm like, oh my God. Like one of the dudes literally was like first day of Suka, TSUKA on Binance Smart Chain. And I mean, he literally made, I think $15 million on Suka. It was insane, but it's like,
take it back to Aptos. So someone listening can get some value out of this other than buying some microcap Gino something meme of the week.
Yeah.
For Aptos question out of my, well, first of all, can you go through the information that you have around the distribution schedule and the allocation percentages?
Yeah. So essentially there's four categories and we'll start with investors. Investors hold 13.5% of the total token supply, which is, you know, 135. I'll just round up to, you know, 13.5. 135 million. There's a 4-year lockup for the first 13 months. No Aptos unlocks. Then it unlocks monthly after that. Not bad. Okay. The foundation, which I don't really understand what that is, but it's on their website. You can read about it. Has 16.5%. I imagine a lot of the same people that are the investors. It's 165 million tokens. Unlocks over 10 years with 5 million unlocked at Genesis. So nothing crazy. Then there's core contributors, 19%, 190 million, 4-year lockup for the first 13 months, no Aptos unlocks monthly thereafter. So you can kind of see that unlocks months 14 through 48. And then the community, which is why this is kind of interesting. 51% are to the community, however you define that, unlocks over 10 years with 125 million unlocked to Genesis. Yeah. So there's a decent amount of float out there right away. And I think the number that we saw was, for something that had no, it sounds like the way that those were distributed were, here's where your coins are staked, right? Like they're just immediately staked before it even rolled out, right?
Well, maybe. I don't know whether. Yeah. I'm not sure. So there's 13% of the circulating supply out right now.
Yeah.
But my question is, now that we know 50% of the community, 19% core contributors, 16% foundation, 13.5% investors. Okay, so we know that they raised $400 million. I would like to know where that $400 million sort of entered. Was it investors? But like you said, is it also foundation? Because here's where I would go with it. $400 million went in.
Yeah.
Investors got 13%. And so that could give you some idea of what they're internally valuing. It has to be more than just 13% because right. If it was, they're down massively right now because they spent $400 million for 13% of the supply, which would be a $40 billion. No, sorry. What help me on the numbers here.
So what, 13% of 400? Is that what you're asking?
No. If you bought 13% of a company for $400 million, you're evaluating at, it's like something like, is it $4 billion?
Roughly $4 billion. It'd be a little bit less, but
Right.
It'd be like 3.7 billion or something in that range.
So there. So if that but, is the
but
case, the,
but don't confuse company valuation with market cap of a token, right?
Right.
Like that's a common issue because as you and I well know, Alan, because we've been a part of a ton of early stage crypto investments. There's equity deals where you're getting company equity. There's token deals, and then there's sometimes both. Now with an Aptos like a layer one, there may not be equity at all, right? There may so to your point, yeah, they're paying for just market cap, and you can compare the two. But also, you mentioned they could have a fund. Like it's not uncommon for a layer one like this to want to set aside very meaningful investment dollars, like hundreds of millions of dollars, just to invest in other companies that want to build on Aptos.
Yeah,
right. And I'm sure there's a kickback to those early investors. And that's why they're so willing to give you $400 million, because they're like, all right, well, we're giving you $50 million for the development of this new layer one, and you guys are from Meta. Take the other 350, invest in 1,000 shitcoin startups in the bear market that are all going to build on Aptos. And next time, one of them will be Chainlink, and one of them will be Uniswap, and one of them will be DYDX, and we'll make all of our money back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think the other piece to that is they're going to incentivize use, right? So like, yes, they will probably invest in most of those companies. Someone has to build the Uniswap of, and the DYDX of, and the PancakeSwap of. Like, that's where the money is. If you're somebody with technical ability, go spend a week, look into Aptos, put together a group of five friends that also have some technical ability, add some sales guy on top of that, go to Aptos and say, hey, I want to build the X of, of Aptos. Go look at a project that's built on Ethereum or Solana, et cetera, and go to Aptos and say, I just want to build that on Aptos. You'll probably get some crazy grant and you'll be the first of, right? And that's how... if I had nothing better to do, that's what I'd be doing for the next.
But here's the thing about Aptos. The reason why Aptos is different is that they created their own language.
Is that, it's called Moves or something like that?
Yeah. So it's like, it's essentially, the same concept of like, we created a different language that has, these advantages over Solidity. Like, well, yeah, there's some drawbacks too, right? I mean, the whole Solana value prop was, we're not Solidity, we're faster, right? Like that's... We're faster, we're more secure, you can actually have real world throughput on there. So yes, you can do that, Alan, but you got to learn a new language. And so there's literally these two dudes, Mo and Avery, that know this stuff. And so they're kind of controlling the funnel. From that regard, it's pretty smart, because like if people want to learn, they're going to have to learn essentially from you and figure this thing out.
Yeah, my point is only like go get involved really early, because all of the people that did that with Solana are doing really, really well right now.
No doubt.
And Aptos is going to need builders, right? Because that layer one is worth nothing without anything built on top of it. Right. So if you're someone that's interested in crypto, has technical ability, seriously, go figure it out, because you're going to be, if you spend a week, you'll be miles ahead of everybody else because no one else has spent a week on it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I'd spend my time.
And if you are just looking to get into this stuff, obviously I spend some time talking about shitcoins because it's fun. And like, you can tell which ones are going to pump. You've been doing this as long as I have. But even if you don't want to play that crazy ass game, just look for the building blocks, man. When there's a lending protocol, when there's, like you said, the swap protocol, whatever their Uniswap is going to be, right? Like there's all sorts of things that once you see the one that's getting traction, it's going to do some crazy multiple. But it's just whether or not you think Aptos is going to have long-term success. And I don't see a reason for it. In fact, I'm glad you brought this up. Chainlink God, who I think everybody knows, if you're on Twitter, Chainlink God, tweeted the other day about Aptos. He was like, okay, so I guess we have another L1. I don't really understand why. The way that I see it is there's going to be Ethereum. I'm going to pull up the actual tweet because I want to get this right. Chainlink God. There he is. Pulling it up. Shouldn't be hard. Before TPS, which was not
so true. While you're looking that up, I think there's a model emerging, and the funds are sort of onto it. And I think Solana was the first time, at least that I saw, maybe I wasn't paying attention before that, but like the model emerge. Go put a bunch of big name money behind a layer one. Okay, you check that box. Then the next box is go find all of the builders willing to build on that layer one and fund them like now. Now's like the infancy of that chain. Go get in those sort of like networks. Then when those launch, they're going to be, I hope it Aptos doesn't turn into Solana, because what happened with Solana in the model was pump a bunch of money into a pre-built project, buy at a super low valuation, really, really high future float, future dilution, but then push that out over 4, 5, 6, 7 years, and then, you know, incentivize use of it. Because while you're monthly unlocking, you can get all of your value out in the first 3 months. I hope that doesn't happen again, because I think Solana is having to feel the pain of all of that cycle. You have a bunch of projects that have huge, not current market caps, but future market caps, that now have to, the phrase I like to use, chew glass for the next 4 years while everyone's dumping their token to see some price appreciation in the future. So I hope that Aptos sort of avoids that. My concern is the model's now clear. And it's clear because every big name in this industry put a ton of money into Aptos. Now they're going to go flood every single startup on Aptos. It's good for them. Like,
it's good for us. Because as we talked about before, you need a narrative. And if any of us want to have another bull market, because we're all greedy fucks, and two or three for lots of us is not enough, and certainly one is not enough, then you need this narrative. When Bitcoin died, ETH saved it. ERC-20 tokens led that bull market and led that entire boom in crypto. And Bitcoin was merely kind of along for the ride, really. I mean, that's just the truth. Most people didn't know what Bitcoin was until 2016 or 17. And then after that, this most recent bull market, then you had the Ethereum killers. You had Solana, you had Avalanche, you had these new protocols. We need to do it again because we need another narrative. So we need optimism. We need Aptos. We need internet fucking computer shit. And we need AZ. We need Andreessen Horowitz, and we need Coinbase, and we need Jump, and we need these deep, deep, seemingly unlimitedly deep pockets to pump the shit out of these developer funds so we can have another bull market.
Yeah.
So it's all part of the cycle, the development cycle.
By the way, that actually tees up into the tweet, which I found a moment ago by Chainly Guy. This was 23 hours ago. Like any other industry, I believe the crypto infra ecosystem will continue to consolidate. My sense currently is that it will consist of Bitcoin, Ethereum, including rollups, Chainlink, which I agree with, and Cosmos. I could also see room for a Solana / Aptos style chain approach as well. But the point is, like,
He just named all of them. He just named 80% of where all the action is.
But yeah, I know. But the thing is, like, Bitcoin obviously is its own thing. It's not even really crypto. It's not even DeFi. It's just store of value. It is what it is. It's the bedrock, but it's not something people are going to develop on. I can already feel the Bitcoin maxis getting angry, but none of them listen to this podcast, so whatever. And then Ethereum, including rollups. The Ethereum, including rollups, like we talked about before, is essentially Cosmos. That's what they're going to do. The rollups are all going to be like secure transfers in the rollups that all feed back into Ethereum, which is very, very smart. Cosmos had a head start because they did it first, and Vitalik was like, hey man, that shit's pretty nice. I like Cosmos. And so he gave them an endorsement, and Chainlink's going to be the Oracle. Everything else is just trying to latch on and connect somehow. And something will. Maybe it's Aptos. I mean, I think Solana's not going anywhere because, you know, Sam won't let it. I think Avalanche is interesting.
Yeah, but to that point,
you know, whatever.
Pause there, because you said Solana's not going to go anywhere because Sam won't let it. Okay, Sam is invested in Aptos too, and now every other big name is in Aptos. So remember, hardly anybody knew about Solana until Sam.
Yeah.
And so Aptos has that same flywheel starting now. So that is an argument of why someone might be interested in like buying it today. You have 7 times the current, or no, way more than that. You have 10 times, almost 10 times the current float in future output. But that might be worth it because you have every big name behind it who's going to incentivize the use. So if you believe that Solana's not going to go anywhere because Sam won't let it, then you should believe way more in Aptos because Sam, Brian Armstrong, Andreessen, Multicoin. By the way, Multicoin is like the biggest Solana player of all time. So explain that to me. Where's the conflict of interest in that?
I think, well, so to your point, I think that if Solana had done what they said they were going to do on their first shot, which, look, you guys know better than I do, but it's impossible to do, man. Even Ethereum had fuck ups, right? Like, you had to figure it out. You could argue Ethereum is still fucking up. If they had done what they said they were going to do, I think they'd kill everything really fast. But they had some major security issues, some down issues, where it's like, this thing was so fucking fast. Because you know what doesn't exist right now? A chain that can handle real adoption. Doesn't exist. Including Ethereum.
It doesn't need to exist. No one's trying to adopt these chains. Again, there's 17 people on Earth who give a shit about this. Buying any chain. And the only thing that the other 99% give a shit about is how much number go up. They're not actually using it. They're going onto Coinbase, 130 million people strong, and then another 300 million going onto Binance, and they're buying and holding a coin because they want to get rich. So we're too early to need any meaningful throughput. I've seen Solana handle NFT mints with absolute ease, to the tune of tens of thousands of transactions at one time for pennies. I've seen ETH do the same thing. But yeah, you can't run Uber on it. You can barely run Uber on AWS. So
I think,
I think
like Joel's right now. And the thing that changes that is there has to be some product developed that uses blockchain invisibly. Yeah. Like no one cares, like to the point. Yeah. A very small group of people care. They do care about whatever, like you said, the Uber, right? So if Uber found a good reason to put everything on chain, I don't think that they would, but think of another relevant business, maybe like if there was a Redfin or Zillow-like company that could, one, tokenize property and then allow you to exchange that really, really easily, but the blockchain part is invisible. People don't care about what makes it run. They just care that it works, and it's a cool problem-solving tool or widget.
So I have a question for you guys, and I feel like I kind of got that from Joel just now. But what, like, I'm not trying to get too existential here because I don't know where this would lead. But what is the point of the blockchain? Like, why does it exist? Why is there even an alternative for it? If it's like people don't give a fuck, then why does it even exist? And I'm asking that because I have an answer to that, but I'm curious your answer before I give mine.
It's pretty straightforward. Why does JavaScript exist? Why does CSS3 exist? Why does Rust exist? Technology exists because technologists build technology so that way we can make our lives easier. Period. Blockchain could be the VCR. It could be Blu-ray. It could be the internet. It could be a fad. We don't know. We're only 10 years in. It's very unlikely, in my opinion, to be a fad because there's too many billions of dollars. It's not Beanie Babies, right? But ultimately, the technology does not matter. And to, like, when it comes, your comment about Solana, like they could have killed everyone if they just did their, like, if they just did it right or whatever. They did kill everyone. They did. Outside of Ethereum, Solana killed everything. Solana was the golden child of the last bull market. Solana was and still is really regarded by the majority of novice crypto enthusiasts as, like, you know, it reminds me a lot, unfortunately, of Ripple in 2017. It doesn't even actually matter if it's good tech or bad tech. What matters is marketing, PR, the colors you use in your logo, and how much your coin costs. That's what matters to the world. It doesn't mean that JavaScript, like, no one cares about JavaScript. They don't understand that it's the basis, or Java is the basis of 99% of the things that they use. That part does not matter.
Okay. So, and Alan, before you answer, I think, so you hit at most of what I was asking you, Joel, but I just want to clarify. Because, you know, technologists do what they do. They do things to try to make our lives easier. But then my question is, what is there that presently exists in the world that has a downside to it, to where, like, something's getting fucked up, that blockchain was even needed or thought of to be created? You know what I'm saying? So, like,
Let me add. Yeah. Blockchain is just, like, if blockchain transaction throughput, as an example, could even get close to as high as MasterCard's,
yeah,
it's a win. right? So it's not about a trillion transactions per second or whatever.
No doubt.
Like, if we can just get to being remotely as good as the existing web infrastructure, it's a win. The reason that we have to use blockchain is because of the decentralized nature. At the end of the day, the core problem with the existing perfectly good technology that allows us to use a plastic card or our cell phone to instantly buy coffee, instantly, with instant settlement, or yeah, instantly send money. We don't need blockchain to instantly send money to Africa. You don't need blockchain to do all this other stuff. You need the internet. That's what you need in order to do all that stuff. Blockchain helps take the internet and says, instead of Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and, you know, the and these incumbents owning all of the power by way of centralized technology, Amazon, mm-hmm, Microsoft Web Service, Google, every the greater good, the public, the larger majority can be responsible for securing that data and relying less on one centralized party. But they're not trying to necessarily make Uber faster. They're not trying to make it quicker than MasterCard. MasterCard's okay. Instant. You're not going to get quicker than that.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. Better. So thank you. That's where I was kind of going and you answered it well. Alan, add on to that or have your own take?
Yeah. So I don't want to just repeat everything that Joel said. I think that where blockchain is right now, the internet is a perfect comparison. So there was a time when like people genuinely asked, what do I use this internet thing for? Like, right, it just feels weird. Why would it? And then they were like, well, you could listen to your favorite radio station on the internet. It's like, what? Why would I want to do that?
I have a
radio.
Then
it's like, yeah. And then it's like, well, but you could watch a out of network sports game on the internet. And it's like, oh, why would I want to do that? But that appealed to a little bit more people. Then you could live stream games. It's like, what? Who would do that? And then it's like, you know what I mean? So I think that blockchain is in a similar spot where it is a technology looking for its breakout use case. And its breakout use case a year ago, largely, I think you could argue, was NFTs. And a lot of people didn't get it, but for some reason, a ton did. And they're like, this is cool. This is interesting to me. So it had a breakout moment. Before that, it was DeFi. Like, no one was really talking about DeFi 2.5 years ago.
No.
Like you said, DeFi summer. It sort of came out of nowhere. And it's like, oh, this is an interesting use case. And so there will be another one. I don't know what it will be, but there will be another one. And as we keep iterating on that and iterating on that and iterating on that, we learn something. And people continue to try. Eventually, it will find the use case. Right now, a lot of people think it's gaming. They think it's like digital ownership of items in game. And if you're anyone that like played Counter-Strike or a Steam game that had a market behind it, Team Fortress 2, Counter-Strike, Dota, where like your in-game items have an actual real value tied to it, you can kind of get that.
Yeah.
The people that don't get that are ones that play games like World of Warcraft, New World, without a market, sort of a real world market tied to it.
Sure.
They're like, oh, why would I want that? And gamers have pushed back to it. But a lot of people are putting money into gaming thinking this is the next use case. It might be, but the development cycle, and I'm making a really long point here, I'm sorry. The development cycle of good games is way longer than people expect. All of those dog shit games that people were pumping out with 20, 50, $60 million valuations behind the company, and it's just fucking flat Super Mario, but with like a slightly different character. No, that's not it. But like a real cool game where people don't pay attention to the fact that it's blockchain based, but they're like, blockchain. Oh, I can have an item and then sell it when I'm done playing this game. That could be one.
Blockchain just doesn't play well enough yet with the existing infrastructure. So it's actually not a matter of blockchain not being advanced enough to be to have Zillow on the blockchain. There's only like 6 or 7 million houses a year sold in the United States. That's like 16 or 17,000 houses a day. You can do 17,000 transactions a day on any blockchain easily. So there's plenty of instant settlement becomes a little bit more challenging. But at the end of the day, blockchain's plenty of technologically advanced to support lots of stuff. But when it's not integrated into your Chase app or into your Apple Pay or to your bank account, you know, if you're not getting your paycheck into that same wallet, or if there's not an on-chain credit system for evaluation of credit and things that are infrastructurally important to the way that we operate our economy, there, that gap is going to exist. And I think that there's a real exciting opportunity in bridging that gap. There's all this building happening in the blockchain world, and there's this massive existing infrastructure in this internet world. In between, there's got to be more. Plaid's doing a really good job of trying to be aggressive there. PayPal's doing a good job of being, Cash App's doing a good job. But there is still a huge gap that needs to be filled before the next Uber developer, that next Stanford grad or kid, whatever, that goes and builds the next Snapchat has a real incentive to say, actually, no, this is way easier, faster, and cheaper than AWS. So I'm just going to build on Solana. And at the end of the day, whoever downloads my app isn't even going to know it's running on that backend technology. And that's probably 5 or 10 years away from even the, you know, Stepin did really good, really good. It's a silly concept that's very simple, but it's a damn good start, right? They did a really good start. So,
yeah. So first off, I agree. And I think that to your point of seamlessness is probably true. And I think that actually goes back to why Aptos is in demand at all. Because they're offering hybrid custodial options, flexible key management. They're offering things that most blockchains look at and go, fuck that. That's against everything we stand for. They're essentially offering a way for people to develop and to have companies or people build and have the forgot password. I forgot my password. Can you help me out?
Well, that was Libra. It makes sense. It's the same team. And Libra was like, hey, like, we're kind of going to be the corporate blockchain people.
That's right. And like, for me, like, part of me. So that has to happen. Let me say that first. That has to happen to get people to just adopt crypto in general. But the large core of me hates every bit of that, like hates it, because it should be about if you you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. If you're going to do serious things, you should take it seriously and understand how to protect yourself. I understand that's not how it works, but that's what I feel. Back to the question I asked you about why did the blockchain start, and you guys both gave great answers. The thing that I see in this is the start of crypto was the 2008-2009 financial crisis. And to boil that entire incredibly nuanced situation down to one thing is the government bailed out people for making fucking dog shit decisions. Okay. They bailed them out. And that was messed up, because who's paying for that? We are right now. You could argue this whole process that we're going through right now with hyperinflation and all the bullshit that's been happening is the cause of 08-09. The counterpoint to that is we had a pretty great fucking 12 years while that was going on. Okay. With a change in fiscal policy. So the idea is that when pressed, people in power will cannibalize their own morals to keep something that benefits them intact. And so I know we're up against the clock here.
You mean like Binance Chain rolling back the hack?
Yes. Okay. And look, I was a benefit of that. And I'm here to happily say, like, you know what? Yay, man. Cause that helped me out tremendously. But I believe that the core tenet of blockchain and the reason why it was built to begin with, why Bitcoin started, why Ethereum is what it is that power corrupts absolutely. And so if you can create a safe, immutable chain where what you do is what happens and someone can't just, hey, overlord, I'm going to change this shit. There needs to be a place to do business where it is what it is. And when the US ends up printing, which we know they will, and when Europe ends up doing what they're going to do, and we know they will, the UK already has, and China already is, and Russia's trying to do, people in power will corrupt their morals absolutely to maintain the status quo. And that's fucked up, because who pays for that? The citizenry does, okay? And that is years in the making. But in my opinion, it is the distillation of honesty, trying to get people to maintain and do what they say they're going to do, is the entire purpose for the blockchain. And extent, like right now, the number one thing is gaming and DeFi. But the reason why DeFi exists and the reason why DeFi needs to happen is because bankers are fucking corrupt, and they will screw you and me and Joel and everybody else to maintain the status quo. If there's a protocol that's immutable, if there is a way that you have to do business a certain way and you can't just fucking break the rules to suit yourself and bail somebody out for making horseshit decisions, we need those rails, okay? That to me is why I'm in crypto. I'm in crypto because eventually the people in power are going to fuck themselves over. And where is the landing spot going to be? We need to build the infrastructure now. So if that's in 2 years, 10 years, 25 years, or 100 years, because it will happen, there's a place to go where that cycle cannot repeat itself anymore.
I think it's like, I remember when I cared so much. I've just been jaded, but I just want to add, like, I wish that everyone else had that passion, Jared, because it's the fact that 99% of the world's population, they don't give a shit about privacy. They don't care about money. They say they do. They stand, they protest. We care. We care about these things. Look at me. I care. But they don't. And that's why the status quo continues to succeed. So it's a matter of, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's like, what can you
just
do?
Real quick, Alan, and then you can wrap us up. But I think the question is, how hard do you have to get fucked before you look for an alternative? And the answer to that is not enough yet.
But this is the funny part about this. Here's the funny part about it. This is three rich white guys with college educations talking about how hard do we got to get fucked. So like 99%.
It's not going to be us, Joel.
Fucked every day. Exactly.
I know.
So, and we're the ones who cares. So it's all the people who are getting fucked who don't care. So at some point it's like, you know what? If you really don't care, then get fucked. I'm going to keep getting mine. I'm going to keep going the way that I'm going. Because I've been preaching about this shit since 2000 for fucking 5 years and no one gives a shit. They just want to buy Dogecoin. So that's why I'm jaded about it. Fuck it.
Yeah, I'll try to wrap this. I would say, Jared, like it's a noble pursuit and you're obviously very passionate about it, which is important. It's a big purpose of life is to be passionate about something, whether it's baking or crypto or trading. Like, pick something and be super passionate about it, and you obviously are, so that's good. I think that we could have a whole episode talking about this. Many of the examples that you gave that crypto solves, you know, it's just too easy. Crypto's not solving those things right now. There's too many things to point to right now to say, yeah, but. And so anyways, we'll come back to it. This has been a very passionate episode. We talked about Aptos. We talked about why blockchain and maybe also what brings the next bull run. So with that, Jared, play us out.
Good stuff today. Good stuff today. Let's see what happens with Aptos. Jared. I think there's a market. Let's see what people do.
I'm buying it.
Do it.
Buy it all.
Crypto Parabellum Podcast, episode 11. Thank you for tuning in. Check us out. Subscribe on YouTube, please. Almost to where we need to do to get a custom URL. Take care, everybody.